All right, guys, so we're in lesson two. We're going to start right into 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to focus on the first 11 verses. And I've entitled this lesson, God's Comfort in Pain, because Paul usually starts out his letters with a blessing or a prayer, but the focus of his blessing and prayer is God's comfort, and I think that's pretty interesting. So already, let's just acknowledge something here. Already he's starting out this letter different than the 1 Corinthians letter, right? 1 Corinthians, he immediately after his prayer launched right into their problems. Here, you could tell there's a different tone already. Well, let's read it together. So notice with me verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises from the dead. He delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. All right, so let's take a look at this. We're going to focus, first of all, on the introduction. It's just an introduction in a letter in verses 1 to 2, but we've got some information here we want to see. First of all, who the writer is. So the writer identifies himself as the Apostle Paul. All right, so this is one of Paul's letters. He points out that he was an apostle by the will of God. Now, what's significant about that statement? He was an apostle. I'm an apostle by the will of God. What's significant about that? Anybody got an idea? Okay. All right, so he was far from being a believer, and God sought him out and called him to be an apostle. Okay? So what can we say about Paul's part in this? Did he have a part in being an apostle? Yeah, God chose him. So he's making it very clear, and I think why he's starting off this way is, remember, when we looked at the introduction last week, he's going to be dealing with the reality of his ministry because he's got people in Corinth saying that he's not an apostle. So he's right off the bat when he identifies who he is, I'm Paul, I was called by God. It wasn't my choice, it was God's choice. Okay, so he's starting off subtly letting him know his apostleship was not because of his decision. is because God called him. All right? So, Timothy is his companion. All right, Laura, you got a question? Some of them, if they came from Jerusalem, would know his history. Although Paul, in other letters, when he talks about these people coming, you realize it's probably by this time been 20 years since that history. They may have known that, but what they don't appreciate about Paul is that he's not teaching the Old Testament law. So maybe they knew. Chances are they didn't. Because you're talking about a big group of people. All right, so Timothy is his companion. Anybody remember who Timothy is? Who's Timothy? His spiritual son. Yeah, do you remember we read that in the book of Acts? You know, it's someone that he circumcised because he was Jewish. But it was his spiritual son. In fact, when we go through 1 and 2 Timothy, they're written to who? Timothy, okay? So it's kind of like Paul's right-hand man, okay? So the letter is addressed to the church or assembly at Corinth. So the letter is addressed to the church or assembly at Corinth, all right? So this is who it's to, but it's not just to them. So it kind of gives you an idea about these letters. The letter is also addressed to the saints in Achaia. Now you say, where's Achaia? Well, Achaia isn't necessarily a place, but an area. So it would be like if Paul was writing a letter to Kerwinsville Christian Church. The type of thing that they would do is he would say to the, you know, I, Paul, not, you know, called to be an apostle by the Lord, and my friend Timothy, to the church at Kerwinsville Christian Church, and to the saints in Clearfield County. Achaia is an area, a district, a province. Now, what does that tell you about this letter? Is the letter just going to be going to Corinth? No, he's sending one letter, but what was the practice of the church? They shared the information that they received. Now, this is an interesting thing, okay? So it's a different thinking when you're talking about these kind of churches, the Corinth church, or in churches like that. God's word is precious to them. And so they share. They share with each other. And so when he says it's addressed to Corinth, okay, we understand that. He's addressing some issues with the Corinthian church. But when he says it's also to the saints in Achaia, that's their province or their district or like we would say our county. Did you understand? Sharing the information. So I think that's pretty significant. It kind of reveals where they at. They don't see things in terms of just me. They see their faith and their Christianity in terms of impacting others. Did you understand what I'm saying? So they shared these letters. Which, by the way, if he sent you a letter where he's throwing you down on some things, that would be kind of embarrassing, wouldn't it? But that was their practice. Let's go on. So then he gives, verse 2, a standard greeting of grace and peace. So verse 2 is typical of his letters, also typical of Peter's letters. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so now when we get to verses 3 through 11, we're going to talk about the thanksgiving here. And what he's thankful for, when I read this, you should have seen the theme, is God's comfort. So let's talk about that, and hopefully we'll have some good interaction. So first of all, when we get to verse 3, he praises God for Jesus. That should be natural. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. That should be from all of our hearts, right? Because if it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't have what? We wouldn't have salvation, right? Okay? He praises God for his mercy. All right? So God shows us mercy, folks, whether we realize it or not. He praises God for his mercy. And then he praises God for his comfort. For his comfort. And that's what he's going to expand on. So then we come to verse 4, and he's going to talk about God's comfort towards us. All right? So God extends comfort in the midst of our tribulations. God extends comfort in the midst of our tribulations. Now you're like, what do you mean, George? Because I go through hard times, and I wonder and I think, man, God, are you even there? Why aren't you answering me? Why aren't you taking care of this, okay? What does it mean, comfort? Well, I'll give you an example. I've shared this before, okay? So obviously this is my second church. I've been here a long time. But before that, I pastored for 4 years in Canada. And I pastored a church there in Ontario, and it was a church plant, but it was probably the most difficult thing I've ever experienced in my life for Lori and I, okay? And it was really bad. We have never had any issues here like that church, okay? So I remember, you know, Lori and I, we had a practice at that time where we talked a lot in the evening, okay? And then I would say to her, why don't you go to bed? Because I was really weighed down with what was going on. And I would say, you go ahead, I'm going to pray. And I can remember a few times in that last year being there. And I have my journal. I have a journal in my desk from that time and asking God. I mean, even like the week I decided to resign, I have an entry. God, show me what we need to do to move forward as a church. So I wasn't even thinking about leaving. I was just thinking about, God, get us through this. And I would pray in those times, and I would pour out my heart to God and ask for wisdom and grace. Help me to understand what's going on here. And he would give me a peace that surpassed all understanding. Now, I'm going to tell you, the peace didn't tell me what the next day was going to be. The peace didn't give me answers for the difficulties that I was facing. In fact, the next day might be worse. But I had peace. That, my friends, was the presence of God. And he was telling me, I'm with you. I'm with you through this. That's comfort. Isn't that just knowing he's there? And we're pouring our hearts out. In fact, he's good. When we were reading this, I saw some interesting language here. We'll talk about it as we get through this. You just pour your heart out. And God, we want him to give me an answer, open a door, show me a light. But he gives us a peace. And the peace isn't like it's going to be okay, because it didn't turn out okay there. Do you understand? It didn't turn out okay. In fact, you know, I resigned, didn't have anywhere to go. We came because I couldn't stay in Canada because I could only do the pastoring thing. Came back, ended up going back to the Christmas tree field, working for my father-in-law and then doing various other jobs. And that was the dark night of my soul for a whole year, wondering what I'm going to do. And then God called me to come here. Do you know what I'm saying? It was not like everything turned out hunky-dory. Did you understand? But there was that peace that God said, I'm with you. That's God's comfort. And so God extends his comfort in the midst of our tribulations. God extends his comfort in the midst of our tribulation. Now, tribulation is also translated here as troubles, anguish, or distress. That word tribulation can mean troubles. Okay, we understand that. Anguish. Everybody understand anguish? Or distress. You know, we feel those things. Okay, so let's go on here. Here's the purpose of God's comfort, okay? We see that in verse 4. God's comfort is not solely intended for the recipient. What? So when he comforts you, it isn't just for you. Well, I'm the one who benefits from it. I'm the one who needs it. I'm the one who wants it. No, no, it isn't just for you. Paul's making that point here. His comfort isn't just for us. Okay? It isn't just for us. God intended it to be shared with others who suffer too. Did you understand what I'm saying? So as you are suffering and you experience the comfort of God, it's not just for you. You then are to share with others that comfort also. I just did that, right? By my testimony of what was it like in that first church and the peace of God. I just shared with you, right? Yeah. How can you and I share, okay? So here you are, you're going through something. God's comforting you through what you're going through. But when we interact as a church family and somebody says to you, man, pray for me. They quietly say, do you pray for me? I am going through this. You who have been comforted can say to them, God will be with you. Let me tell you how he comforted me. Do you see what I'm saying? We encourage each other. We comfort each other. So comfort is intended to be shared with others who suffer too. Now, isn't that interesting? In the same way, even with this issue of comfort, it isn't just for you. Christianity isn't just a me thing. Christianity is an us thing. It's about being there for each other. Okay? Being there for each other. So, you know what? My mother-in-law got through her procedure Friday. Lori put up the update yesterday. There was a screw-up with email, and they didn't get put up that everything was okay until this morning when I realized that. But here's the thing that was really great for me to realize, is that Lori said, people have been contacting me, wondering how everything's going. That actually spoke to me. People care. Do you care enough about Lori's mom to ask her how things going? Because that meant they were praying. Do you understand what I'm saying? That meant that they were concerned. I think that's a good thing. Do you know what I mean? I think that's a good thing because that's a reflection here of sharing together. Do you understand? Of sharing together. All right, let's go on. Just as sufferings we endure abound, the comfort of God abounds even more. Isn't that awesome? Just as difficulties abound, and do they abound? Yeah, it's like, what time is it? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's not even what day, what time is it? God's comfort abounds. Now, isn't that interesting? Man, think about how awesome God is, because I was just reading that and I thought, you know, he said earlier, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So where sin is, grace abounds much more. Here he's saying, where there's problems, there's more what? Comfort with God. Isn't that awesome? Okay? Isn't that awesome? So here we go. As Paul endured his suffering and his comforted, he is able to encourage them. So even as he's going through the things that he's going through and he's feeling the comfort of God, he's able to encourage them. He's able to encourage them. Now, why do we need to do that, okay? Why do we need to do that? What is it about the Christian life that we need to do this? Okay, it's not about us. That's good, John. What else do you think it is? What is it about the Christian life? So many of us think Christian life is, I prayed a prayer and I got saved. We're here for each other.
That's the only reason why wouldn't God just directly take you right out of here once you become a believer? You're here to support the church and spread the word of God. There's two things you're here to do.
Okay, all right, that's good, Bruce. And I would expand what you're saying a little bit further by saying, because remember, is life going to be easy for a Christian? No. So all of us are called to what? Endure, right? To the end. So my giving comfort to others is to encourage them to what? Endure. To help them, help each other along to finish the race. Do you know what I'm saying? To overcome, like it says, to him who overcomes in the book of Revelation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is to encourage each other on, because are there days when we want to throw in the towel? Are there days where we want to say, I'm done. I can't go on anymore. I can't endure this anymore. Well, isn't that his language? What do you mean? Well, let's look here. Look with me at what he says here. Verse 8. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Now, we could just blow on past right what he's saying there. What is he saying? They were having such problems that they even were even thinking about, why is it even worthy to be alive still? That's how real he's being here. But the purpose of comfort, God's comfort comes in the midst of that, but it comes in the midst of that so that we can share that comfort with others as they, because let's be honest, don't we get overwhelmed sometimes with the stuff that we face that we're like, man, what is the use going on? Do you know what I'm saying? And God brings the comfort through others to us. So he had a hope that just as they endured suffering, they would enjoy comfort. So can I say this to you? It is the testimony of Scripture that God doesn't promise to take away your problems. But it is the testimony of Scripture that he promises you grace and comfort. Remember Paul? It's actually in this letter. When we get to chapter 12, verse 7, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, and I asked God 3 times to take it from me, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Here he's saying, if you're going to suffer, I know that God's grace will abound much more in your life. What you can expect is not necessarily an answer of taking the problem away, but you can know that God will be with you as you go through the problem. Okay? As you go through the problem. Now, Paul reminds his readers that he was almost killed for the gospel. This is how bad it got for him. He was almost killed. And I would say many times he was almost killed. And ultimately, he was killed, right? Many times he was almost killed. So, Paul points out that God had rescued him from calamity. So there were times when God rescued him. Paul points out that his rescue was God's answer to their prayers, to the Corinthian prayers, for him. Yeah, you know, we pray for people. Sometimes we know the answer, sometimes we don't. We just need to know that it's in God's hand and he will answer us. It's quite an interesting thing he's starting off with here. Definitely a different tone. Wouldn't you say it's a different tone than the first letter we looked at? He is definitely communicating to them what? Comfort.